Welcome into the Everybody Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney. With me, as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
We're here today to give you the preview of the weekend. We are excited about this football weekend, and Brady's going to kick us off with World Series news.
If you haven't been watching the World Series, the Boston Red Sox has jumped out to a 2-0 series lead, taking both games at home in Boston as the series now shifts to L.A. cross-country flights for both teams, so there was no game last night. World Series resumes tonight in L.A. Story of the first two games has really been how well the Red Sox have pitched out of the pen and how well they've hit with two strikes and two outs. The majority of their runs have come with two-out RBIs. I mean, it's just ridiculous what they've been able to do this season and postseason with two outs. I mean, you had in Game 2, you had J.D. Martinez with the big two-out hit that brought home after the Red Sox loaded the bases all with two outs. It started out, Vasquez got the single. Betts got a two-out single. Benny draws a walk, and that chases the starter. They bring in the reliever Madsen. He walks Steve Pierce, and then J.D. gets a timely hit to put the Red Sox up, and they would be up for good as they win Game 2, 4-2. I've just been surprised at how well their bullpen's done, you know?
Yeah, that was the biggest thing to me was,
I mean, because I thought the Dodgers had the clear edge on the bullpen.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the Red Sox have the edge with the starters, but it's pretty well. But the Dodgers have more bullpen depth, in my opinion. And you got Nathan Eovaldi, a starter for the Red Sox, coming out of the pen in both games, giving you an inning apiece, really shutting down the Dodger offense. And then we have Craig Kimbrell with two appearances already and one save.
Yeah, I like how Cora, the manager for the Red Sox, he's always talking about, you know, we're going to go big night, we'll worry about tomorrow. And that's the best way to look at things.
And I think he sort of got that mentality sort of from the Astros last year as he was their bench coach as they won the World Series. So, I mean, he's been here. He was there last year. He knows sort of the buttons and moves to make. So, I mean, I just think they're in a good spot up 2-0 going back to L.A. Worst case scenario, they come back to Boston.
Yeah.
I mean,
LA, that's not a bad scenario.
L.A. can win every game in L.A., but they still got to come back to Boston. And do you think the cold weather had anything to do with the Dodger offense struggling?
Yeah, I mean, it's harder to throw in cold weather. I mean, it's a scientific proven fact. And if you're not used to it.
It definitely is.
You know, it's hard to do that. But I strictly think the Red Sox are going to win just because of the management of the games. I mean, the Dodgers are just getting out coached, hands down.
Yeah, you see in Game 1, I mean, he got Chris Sale out of there at the right time coming off. He was in the hospital last week.
A belly button ring? Wasn't that it?
I don't know. That was weird. Feels like something you'd make a pledge say.
Athletes are total pansies these days, man. Like, I'm serious.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. Anyways, seems like he knew he wasn't going to be able to go the 100, 110 pitches. So it gets him out of there maybe a little early, and the bullpen handles it. And I was – maybe David Price has finally figured out how to pitch in postseason baseball.
Let's not get too confident in him.
I mean, it's two quality starts in a row in big games.
Yeah,
it is. I mean, he pitches a big game to close out the series in Houston, and now he comes in and throws very well against a good Dodger lineup and gets Game 2 of the World Series to get him up 2-0. What I don't understand, I know the Red Sox have thrown both lefties in the first two games, but Dave Roberts isn't starting, in my opinion, his best bats. I mean, he's kept Jock Peterson on the bench, hadn't started either game. Bellinger hadn't started either game. Max Muncy hadn't started either game. I mean, there's three of your best hitters on your roster. I know they're all lefties, and you're going against two of the best left-handers in the game. But I just feel like in this situation and time, I mean, they're major league hitters. They're going to be just as well as anybody else you put in there. You have to have your best nine in the lineup if you want to win. So I don't know why you're not playing those guys, even though they're lefties. I mean, and the guys that are hitting for them, obviously it hadn't worked. So I just don't know why you just don't go ahead and put them in there and start lineup and give them an at bat or two before they come in off the bench to face a righty. Because you know you're gonna play them eventually in the night.
Yeah, that was crazy to me as well, not really playing your best bats in the World Series. But,
I mean,
stranger things have happened, obviously. And maybe they thought that was the best thing to do to win. Can't fault them for if that's how they feel.
No.
So maybe it'll pay off in the long run. Maybe they come back and win the series. I don't see that happening at all.
I don't either.
I think that this game goes to a max 5 games.
I just think the Red Sox are just a better team.
Yeah.
I just feel like they're more together than the Dodgers. Like, I feel like they're the type of team that would all, like, go out after a game and get a beer together or something. You know?
Yeah, or, you know, go bowling.
Yeah. Mookie Betts, great bowler.
I actually finally saw a clip of him bowling.
You did?
Yeah. You told me about it. The spin that he puts on a ball.
He's good.
It's insane.
He wants to be a pro bowler when he's done playing baseball.
Well, so, I mean, he can definitely do it. You said he bowls, what, in 300s consistently?
I mean, he can. He goes and competes in tournaments in the offseason. That's what he does in the offseason. He goes and bowls in tournaments.
I don't think I've ever hit 200.
I haven't.
Much less 300.
I've come close. But that's as close as I've come. I mean, it's just been – I mean, you can't say anything more about the series. It's just timely hits. The Red Sox have got them. The Dodgers haven't.
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
It is.
I mean, you had the big home run, pinch hit home run in game one that really put that game out of reach. So, I mean, that's all it is. That's all baseball is. If you really look at it, it comes down – especially in the postseason, it comes down to who gets a timely hit, and that's usually who wins a ball game, you know?
Yeah, so here's the thing. You're still sitting on the Red Sox to win, obviously.
No doubt.
Now the question is tonight, how many games do you think that it takes for them to put the Dodgers away? Because, I mean, they're going to put them to sleep sooner or later.
I think the Dodgers at least get one, maybe. But the Red Sox have been playing great on the road.
Oh.
So I'm not going to count out a sweep. But realistically, I think the Dodgers can maybe get two and send it back to Boston. But I don't see it going further than six. I think six is max.
No, see, I think the Dodgers are going to win game three, and then Boston's going to win the next two.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's always better to win it in your home city anyway.
We still don't know who's throwing game three for the Red Sox. I mean, I believe it's going to be Rick Porcello with Eovaldi getting work out of the pen. But it's still not out.
Something to keep your eye on for sure.
I mean, I think Porcello gets game four and Eovaldi gets game – Porcello gets game three and Eovaldi gets game four, which they're both right-handed guys, which gets those bats – left-handed bats for the Dodgers we talked about back in the lineup. And that's why I think they can steal at least one of those.
Yeah. It's good thoughts. I mean, I'm going to stick with 5 games. The Red Sox, I think Dodgers will beat them tonight, and then they'll take the next two.
I just think the Red Sox are so hot right now.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they take the last three of the series with Houston, in Houston, and then they take the first two of this World Series. So, I mean, I think they believe that they can't be beat right now.
It's a good mindset to have until you get beat. And it brings you back down to reality.
I mean, they're just so good. Top to bottom of that lineup, it's just deadly.
All right, so moving on, we're going to go to the NBA. Do you have anything you want to talk about in the NBA that sticks out to you, first and foremost?
The NBA has, which also happens to contain my news of the day, where it's come out that Houston has offered not one, not two, not three, but 4 first-round draft picks to the Wolves for Jimmy Butler.
That is insane. That is a dumb move.
It's insane to offer that many draft picks, and it's insane to turn that many draft picks down.
That is the most draft picks you can send, propose.
Especially when Jimmy Butler has come out and told you, I am not re-signing here.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get a better offer. from anybody than four first-round picks.
Here's the thing. That's the most first-round draft picks you can trade in a deal, according to the league rules.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you're trading all your first-round draft picks for one guy that, honestly, you don't know if you can re-sign.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're in a – Houston's in a win-now mindset.
I don't blame them. I mean, that's all the NBA is today. It's win-now. Worry about everything else later.
Listen, do you know why the Warriors are so good? Because they didn't have that mentality. They were okay with drafting their players and developing them. Yeah, that's why the Spurs are so good.
But if you look at the Rockets now,
they're still trash. They're not going to win a title. Let me tell you. They're not.
They're not going to win a title, but they're going to win enough games to where they don't pick until late 20s in the draft. So, I mean, is there really that much talent there? You look at the Warriors when they were building, they were in the lottery picking top 5, top 10. You're able to steal talent.
Draymond Green came in the second round.
Okay, that's one.
Well, okay, they drafted three that they really developed. Steph was a lottery pick. Clay went 11th out of Washington State. He's kind of a sleeper. Yeah. So, Draymond Green, who's arguably the most versatile out of all of their players.
They took a chance on him and it hit. I mean, there's not many guys that it really works out for like that.
They took Monte Ellis in the second round out of high school, and he panned out really well, but it kind of got
– yeah. I mean – you just don't really know who's going to pan out in the draft, though.
That's in any sport.
Yeah. But, I mean, especially in basketball, you look at some of these top picks in the past. I mean, I just think guys are coming in younger and younger. And maybe another year in college for some of them will do them a whole lot better. But you can't fault them for going where the money's at.
Okay, so it's interesting that you say that. What do you think about the new G League developing $150,000 contracts for people who don't want to go to college but get paid to play, and that's kind of like the new minor league farm system for them now instead of using college sports?
I honestly think that it may be the beginning of the end of good college basketball.
See, I mean, I don't think that.
Because you look at these guys, they're going to school in these big programs to play 1 year and then go to the NBA. You sit down with a high school kid that's going to be in the NBA. That's basically what this rule is going to apply to, guys who know they're going to the NBA within a year or two. Okay, I'm going to give you a $150 million contract. $150,000 contract to come play basketball and not worry about anything else but playing basketball. Or you can go to school and have to worry about class and basketball and not get paid. But while you're in college, you're going to make all these other people millions of dollars off of you when you can go to the G League and make $150,000.
Okay, but here's the thing. Really and truthfully, if you think about it, there's probably 9 or 10 prospects every year that could go straight from high school to the NBA.
Yeah.
If you look at the past college basketball, most of the people who jump onto the scene aren't freshmen.
Yeah.
They might be redshirt freshmen or something, but most of the time it's going to be your juniors or seniors that developed all of that, and it's kind of that's their breaking out party.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think that college basketball will decline any.
But you're not going to have the top tier talent out of high school if those kids decide to go to the G League.
Okay. But those top-tier talent people, they usually sign with the same schools anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, you're still going to have Gonzaga. They're still going to be good. Yeah. Villanova, they're still going to develop their players and be good. Ole Miss, they're still going to get players from overseas and be trash.
But you look at Villanova now, they're starting to sign 5-stars too.
You can be a 5-star recruit and maybe not want to do that.
It's all about what – I think it all starts from where you're coming from too.
Yeah.
Because if you're coming from a family with some money who can support you, you're probably going to lean towards a college route to get the experience of college and all. But if you're coming from a background where you don't really have a lot and somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I'm going to offer you a $150,000 contract or you can go to college, what are you going to take?
Well, see, it's hard to turn down $150,000. You're right.
Out of high school. Yeah. Out of high school. That's hard to turn down.
But you have to be good enough to get that offer.
Yeah.
And I don't think many players are going to get that offer. I mean, I think 9 to 10 players, per year on average are going to get that offer.
I think you have enough to fill it out because they're going to try – because with this, they're going to try and build up the G League to where more people will watch that.
Yeah.
So they're going to try and go after more people to sort of try and compete with college basketball.
And I don't think that they'll be able to.
I just think they have a shot to if they do it right. They have to do it right, though.
The thing is, I like that they're actually trying to take the step. Like, I don't fault them for that. You know what I mean?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're going to get some good talent.
Yeah. But I don't think that it's going to destroy college basketball.
It's going to take a few years to see if it's going to make it or not.
Yeah.
Just like with anything else.
I think it'll make it.
Give it 3 or 4 years. And if guys go and have success and get to the NBA, you're going to see more guys go.
Yeah.
But I think right off the bat, you're not going to see the big guys go right away. But if they see success, then you'll see more and more guys going out of high school.
I think that the G League, obviously it's small anyway, and it's like you're playing minor league ball.
They're just trying to build their brand, basically, by doing this.
Very rarely do you see people actually come out of the G League and make it in the NBA. And I think that's lack of development.
Yeah.
Lack of competition. And with these guys, you can help.
Maybe this is trying to get them better competition there. They also have to have better coaching.
Yeah.
They have to have good coaches because, I mean, you look in college, you got Calipari, Krzyzewski, Williams. I mean, all these guys who have proven that they can develop you into an NBA caliber player. You're going to have to get coaches in the G League that kids can respect.
It's hard to develop talent. I mean, I personally believe that it's hard to do.
I mean, some folks just have it.
But you go into a program like Kentucky or Duke
or Michigan State
or Syracuse, you know, or Arizona, you know, I mean, it's right off the bat. You know what's going to happen. You know what to expect. You're going to have to break it every day. You know
what expectations
are. Exactly. You got to live up to those. Just like going to Alabama.
Football.
Yeah. Florida State. Any big – Michigan. Notre Dame. You got to try to live up to those expectations. It doesn't happen a lot of times. But it's still that's part of being developed. You have to say – you have to demand it. Yeah. And sometimes in professional sports, it's not demanded.
Yeah. I mean, I see the positives of both, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see why kids would go and why they wouldn't.
I think it's something definitely that if you live around an area that has a G League team,
you're going to be more likely to go.
Yeah, like us. You know, we're an hour away from a G League affiliate.
And if you have a 5-star guy out of Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to go to Memphis and play? Or do you want to play for this team and get paid?
That's the thing. Like, that was my thinking. They may have fine-tuned this since last announced, but how do you decide on who goes where?
Yeah. Do you have a – is it recruiting?
Mm-hmm.
Or do guys declare and you have a draft?
Yeah.
I mean.
But – or you could do like – okay, say if you're from New York, then this team gets everyone in this district
like
or this
American
region.
American Alliance football.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's going to be a good thing to look at.
Yeah. But I think that with that, though, you have a team in the South is probably obviously going to be better
mm-hmm.
than a team out of New York or somewhere just because there's more talent.
Well, man, New York breeds some NBA talent.
I'm talking about the American Alliance thing.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing with that is
– because you have – in basketball, the talent's more spread out around the country. But in that, football talent's usually in Texas or around the South or out in Cali. You know,
well, with the American Alliance football thing, that's the name of it. It's obviously you have to come out of college to do it, and each team gets college affiliates in that area.
Yeah,
and each team gets NFL teams affiliates in that area for people who've been cut or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they each get one Canadian Football League team, and I think that's a good way to do things. And I think maybe Vince McMahon with the XFL could look into something like that with his.
I think it would help him out, too.
Yeah.
But
and let me tell you, if you got to put your money on the AAL and the XFL and which one's going to survive longer, roll the dice with Vince McMahon. Let me tell you. because he's a businessman. He knows what he's doing. You can say, well, the WWE's fake all you want to, but he's not a billionaire for nothing.
It's fake, and yet you still watch it.
Exactly. Look, you can say what you want to. They pack out arenas, man.
It's fake, and they sell out arenas every Monday night.
Every Tuesday night. Every pay-per-view.
I mean.
Like, and we're not just talking little things. WrestleMania, they're selling out football stadiums. MetLife, the Orange Bowl. Well, it's not Orange Bowl anymore. Sun Life.
Hard Rock.
I mean, it's crazy. Is it now? I mean, I know it changes every year.
Yeah, they bought it, I think.
Okay. But that's crazy. Now, they have to run 50 yards to get to the ring, which I think is a height, but...
They're in shape. They can do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd take Undertaker about an hour and a half to walk down there.
Right, dude. So, I think that the G League will be good.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's gonna exceed college basketball by any means, even with the trouble.
I just think it has a shot, too.
And if you're in the G League, I say go get Rick Pitino to be your coach. That's your best bet right now. Because he ain't coaching in college ever again, probably. So we're going to move on to the NFL. And something crazy that's happened. A referee got fired. You're excused, man. That happens. Natural occurrence.
Yeah.
A referee got fired mid-season. What, like, that's the first time it's happened. It shouldn't have been the first time.
He missed a call. If they're going to start firing people off of missing one call, there's not going to be refs in the NFL anymore. Yeah. They might as well just put robots out there.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little excessive, but maybe this is a pattern of occurrences from this guy, but I really don't know. I just think that's a little excessive. Because they didn't come out and say numerous calls. They only came out with one call.
Yeah. They didn't every say official, anything else.
Every official in the NFL misses calls.
Every official in anything. Let me tell you, I've reffed a pee-wee basketball game before, and you miss a lot of calls.
I mean, I used to referee rec league soccer.
Yeah.
One of the worst experiences of my life. I mean, you have parents crawling down your neck because you missed a call halfway across the field.
Yeah.
And there's two of you out there, and you can't see everything. I mean, I just wanted to turn around sometimes and say, look, it is rec league soccer. We're not playing in the MLS. I mean, come on.
Your dad umpires Little League baseball, doesn't he? Yeah, and he throws people out all the time.
He does baseball and soccer, too.
He's like, you know what? You're not going
to
be in my ear.
He doesn't care. He just throws everybody out.
It's easy to miss calls.
So I mean, everybody misses calls.
And especially at that age, because you're like, I want to call this?
I mean, especially like coming out. With the NFL coming out with only this one example,
yeah,
with nothing else really behind it, I think they have a lawsuit on their hands. If I was this guy,
I don't think you'll win.
I mean, you have to. I mean, I would. I mean, you're coming out and saying you're firing me because I missed this one call.
But you didn't do your job properly.
Okay, you can point to everybody else in the league and say they're not doing their job properly. I mean,
that's kind of like if you're speeding and the person next to you speeding and you get pulled over and you tell the officer, well, he was speeding, it don't matter, you know, he's not gonna care.
I just think he has a point though. I think he has a case.
Well, in this day and age, you have a case for anything.
Yeah.
So maybe he can stick it to Roger Goodell. I would enjoy it.
I just pray anybody can stick it to Roger Goodell, man.
Yeah. Who's a better commissioner, Roger Goodell or Adam Silver? Is that a tough one?
It's starting to be with some of the rules the NBA are throwing out there.
Yeah. Well, think about the roughing the passer rules in the NFL, man. Those are weak. Yeah. Weak calls.
I mean, they are. But, I mean, you got the NBA coming out saying J.R. Smith has to cover up his tattoo or he's going to be fined. I mean... Come on.
I mean, he didn't get a logo tattooed on him.
Does it matter?
I mean, it kind of violates some of the rules there. Because if they're not affiliated with the NBA, then it's kind of like the NBA
is... I just feel like he's violating some of his rights, but that's just me.
Okay, but when you work for someone, you don't really have that many rights. You got to do what they tell you to do. As simple as that. You know, that's why in the NFL, you have to cover up your entire legs. You can't show skin on it.
Yeah. But
you have to wear certain cleats.
Yeah, but if you're asking me who I think is a better commissioner, I'm going to go with neither. I'm going to go with Rob Manfred of the MLB. I feel like he's done a lot of good for baseball.
I think that's a given that he's the best commissioner as far as major sports go.
Yeah. He's done a lot for baseball. I mean, they have the Little League game and all that. He's promoting it and trying to get it out there. And also they're working and trying to shorten the time of games. So, I mean, I feel like they're doing a lot to try and promote the game.
I think that Roger Goodell and Adam Silver are doing a lot for
themselves.
Well, not even that. But they're doing a lot for the games, trying to take them international. But I don't agree with the NFL having a game in London every other week.
I just feel like that's the players probably hate that.
Like, just put the LA Chargers in London now. You know what I mean?
I don't even think that's a good idea. Because then somebody has to go over there half a year.
It's crazy. That's why I don't think it'll work.
And who coming? Okay, you got guys out of college. Who wants to go live in London?
I mean, a lot of people would like to go live in London.
I mean,
it's a major city in the world.
Would you rather live in London or LA coming out of college?
Okay, well, you can't.
The Chargers are in LA.
It's like this. Though LA is a completely different world than I'm used to. London would definitely be a completely different world than I'm used to. So, I would probably decline the option and go play in the XFL.
I'd rather play in L.A. If I had the choice of playing in L.A. or London.
But it's a joke. Like, the L.A. Chargers are a joke right now.
Yeah.
The Rams have clearly started winning in L.A., so they claimed it.
They can't sell out a soccer stadium.
Exactly. That's the thing.
And the Rams are selling out the Coliseum.
Exactly.
I mean, it's over.
But the thing is, the Rams used to be in L.A.
So you already have a fan
base. Exactly. And it wasn't really that fair.
You already have a following.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers will end up back in San Diego.
I don't.
I think they have to go somewhere.
I think they'll go somewhere. Zero fans, they'll probably go to St. Louis if they have to go somewhere.
I mean, well, crap. All those fans already identify with the Rams. They're going to be like, you suck. I'm still a Rams fan.
I think that the thing to look into here for the NFL is stop trying to promote two teams in bigger markets and get a team in a small market like San Antonio, Memphis.
Nashville, I wouldn't go to Memphis.
Nashville's a small market, and I think the Titans do really well in it. Okay?
I mean, the Predators are also there, and they do very well.
Green Bay's in a small market.
They do very well.
They do very, very well.
Because what's there to do in Green Bay? Go to a Packers game.
That's it. I mean, you're like an hour and, I think, and a half to 2 hours away from Milwaukee. And Milwaukee's a small market.
And they have the Brewers.
And they have the Bucks. So, you think about it, San Antonio, you have the Spurs, and that is it.
That's all there is to do.
Exactly. And so I feel like you can tap into some of these smaller markets.
Get Mississippi a team.
Okay, I don't know about that small. But if you got a smaller market, then you can have, you know, more potential to make money and sell out games and stuff. People would be more excited about it. Think about when the Thunder moved to OKC from Seattle. They were welcomed with open arms.
That's all Oklahoma City had, the Thunder.
And I think the San Antonio would be a good idea because when Katrina came through, the Saints played some of their home games in San Antonio, and they got welcomed really, really exceptionally well, you know?
You put them in the dome there? You think that's big enough?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how do you think
they build a new stadium?
I mean, is it the Astrodome?
No, that's in Houston.
I was about to say, the Astrodome's not even standing anymore, I don't think.
That's in Houston. Yeah, it is. That's where they put all those people during Hurricane.
Yeah.
In the Astrodome.
Yeah, that was in 2005. I mean, you got to think that was 13 years ago. It may be torn down by now.
No, I saw it the other day on TV. They showed it.
Okay. Well, I guess I dreamed that then.
It's still standing.
So that you're talking about putting them in the Alamo Dome. And that's where they played, yeah. I mean, that's, what, 55,000? It's bigger than the Coliseum, I can tell you that.
Hold on. I'm not 100% sure. I wouldn't say. 72,000.
Yeah.
That's plenty. And UTSA plays their home games there. So, you'd have to flip the field when your home games match up.
Well, they're trash anyway, so you can have two trash teams there.
I don't think they'd be trash. I think they'd have a good following. But the thing there...
You don't think UTSA is trash?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the team that would move there.
I mean, the team that should move there would definitely be the LA Chargers.
But you look at it, though. You move another team into Texas. You're going to have to compete with Dallas fans or Texans fans. I mean,
there's three NBA teams there.
Yeah, but it's different.
I don't see how that's any different.
I mean,
there's three NBA teams. Forever. Okay, at some point they had to move there.
Yeah, but I mean,
the NBA didn't just start with all their teams.
I just think there's such a big following with the Texans and Dallas that it would be tough to move another team into Texas.
Hey, yeah, think about the Las Vegas Golden Knights in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the first time anything has been in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then they come in, and then people follow them like crazy. And then they go to, the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
It's the same. I think it's the same concept. I think the people would say, you know what? I'm going to root for this team because of the home team. It's like we were talking about the other day. You go to New Orleans, man. You can buy the backup punter's jersey.
Yeah.
That's how bad people love those teams.
I guess you're right.
I mean, it's not really a right or wrong situation. I just think that they would be more welcome in a smaller market than they would be in L.A. or London or Mexico City.
Yeah, I agree.
You could even put one, down in Orlando or something if you wanted a third Florida team. Yeah. But the thing is, I don't think there's many more options.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I mean, there's really not. I mean, they could find one, but you never know.
All right, we're going to get into our favorite segment of the day.
And it's, yeah. I mean, they're 4.5 from Dallas and 11 from Houston.
I mean, Texas is a big state, dude.
Yeah.
That's a whole country right there.
Hold on. I think I typed in the wrong thing. Yeah, it's 3 hours to Houston.
From San Antonio?
Yeah.
I mean... I just don't see that as being that big of a deal. People are still going to go to say that they win.
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyways.
All right, so we're going to move on to college football. You got any news in college football? Worthy?
Not really.
There's been a lot going on.
Georgia Tech beat the crap out of Virginia Tech last night.
West Virginia took Baylor to the woodshed.
I mean, who didn't see that coming?
I thought it would be like... 3-touchdown game, maybe. West Virginia pulling away late.
No.
But it was awful.
I saw that coming.
Last time I looked at it, it was 44-0. And I think that they ended up winning 58-14.
Yeah. Big game for them.
Yeah.
Maybe that gets them back on track.
Well, do you think they have a chance to play in the big? I mean, obviously they have a chance.
West Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they can lose a game and still be in it. Lose another game and still be in.
I think that's the most interesting conference right now.
Yeah, because you don't really know who's going to be in there.
No.
It's who knows.
With the SEC, you pretty much know the winner of this LSU-Alabama game is going to the SEC championship for the West. And you'll know in the next 2 weeks he's going to go for the East.
Yeah. I mean, you have all these teams close. I mean, the Big 12, you have Texas on top at 4-0, West Virginia at 4-1, Oklahoma at 3-1, Texas Tech at 3-1. And then you have Iowa State there at 2-2. And if they win out,
they're going.
They could win some tiebreakers.
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I mean, if they win out, then that's going to put multiple teams with 2 losses. Because, I mean, they're going to have to play. I mean,
they still have to play Texas, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That division's the most up for grabs, I think, in college football.
I think it's going to come down to Texas and Iowa State, to be honest with you.
I think Oklahoma wins out and they're in.
Well, I mean, whoever, if Texas wins out, then they're in. If Oklahoma wins out, then they're in. Yeah. But you have to win. You have to win every bowl game. If Virginia wins out, then they're probably going to be in. Because Notre Dame's going to lose at some point.
I think Oklahoma wins out. I think West Virginia loses to Oklahoma. obviously, if Oklahoma's winning out.
Yeah.
And then I think they win the rest of their games, and Iowa State slips one time. Because if West Virginia and Iowa State both have two losses, Iowa State gets in. But Texas has to lose twice.
Well, if Texas wins out and Oklahoma wins out, then they're going to have to play each other
again
in the Big 12 Championship.
Yeah.
And obviously the winner of that is going to go.
Personally, I'd love to see that.
I think everyone would.
I'd love to see that again. But
because think about it. That's the first time you could see that game. Maybe not the first, but it'd be the first for us.
Yeah.
At one of the home stadiums. It'd be in Texas, more than likely.
What do you mean?
That game's played at the higher seeds.
No.
Home.
No.
They changed the venue?
It's played in Jerry World.
Since last, that's where they changed to last year? I just remember how it used to be.
It's in Jerry World.
When they used to have it, higher seed hosted it.
It's played in Jerry World. Pretty sure. That's where they played it last year. I'm pretty sure they got that contract signed with them where they play it there every year in AT&T.
I hate that.
Why?
No, not just that championship game. That's fine. But just the neutral side games. Like Arkansas, Texas A&M, they're playing Jerry World. And I don't think that's how it should be.
Were you talking about the regular season game?
Uh-uh.
That's playing the Cotton Bowl.
I know where that's played at. I'm saying.
Okay. You got me confused.
Back before they.
I just don't know how you before got they, neutral site games.
Because people play in neutral site games all the time, and most likely that venue hosts the most. That's just what made me think of it.
They host a conference championship. I mean, the Big Ten's play in Indianapolis.
Yeah. And,
I mean.
And that's fine.
All the Power 5 schools play their conference championships in NFL stadiums.
Do the Pac-12s?
They play in Levi Stadium.
Okay.
They all play in NFL stadiums now.
All right, so we're going to get into some picks and probably break down some games for you. We're going to get started with a game that comes on the 9th. Miami at Boston College. Miami's favored by 3.5 points. This is really a tough game because I picked Boston College a couple weeks ago.
And they almost pulled it out.
I got screwed because I really thought they were going to run all over them.
Yeah.
And then Dylan didn't play in that game. And so it's just kind of like, well, okay. So I'm going to go with Miami and say a prayer because I really feel like that's a coin flip.
I mean, I don't know who's going to play quarterback for Miami. It's at BC.
No.
I think the running back's back healthy, isn't he?
I think so, because I think it was just a 1 week off.
I think he's back healthy. You never know what Miami you're going to get.
No.
And it being on the road at BC, I'm going to go Boston College. I'm going to roll the dice on them. They bite me in the butt. Miami will play the best they've played all year this week. But I'm going to roll with them.
I just don't get Mark Rick's logic. Rozier's not our guy. You know, we're going to come in and we're going to start the freshman.
Yeah.
Well, the freshman's screwing up and Rozier's the answer to it.
Yeah.
You got to pick one.
That's true.
All right, so next up we got Utah, UCLA. Utah's a 10.5-point favorite. Who you taking?
I've been on Utah for a few weeks already. I picked Stanford to beat them. I was wrong. So I've jumped on the Utah train, so I'm going to stay on it. I think they beat Chip Kelly and UCLA in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, most definitely. They are. They get the win. I think UCLA's been looking good the past couple weeks, but I don't think they're going to be able to hang with this Utah team.
Utah looks good.
They do look good.
They look good at home.
They play the most complete games out of any college football team overall. And I think that's what I like about them in the recent weeks, after actually looking at them and watching them.
Yeah.
All right, so next up we got Northwestern at Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a 4.5-point favorite.
That game's at Northwestern.
Is that Northwestern?
Yeah.
Okay, so Wisconsin's still a 4.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in the game?
I'm gonna go ahead and say that I think this weekend could be very wild. And Northwestern's been in some ball games at home. And as we all know, as I've said before, they grow the grass just a little bit higher there. So I think they get the win.
As they're taking Northwestern.
Because they played Michigan really tight at home. And you saw what Michigan did to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So I'm going to roll the dice and say Northwestern takes it. This could be a very bad week for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Wisconsin. They did get embarrassed against Michigan, but I think that they beat Northwestern.
Yeah,
maybe not with the East, but I think they beat them. All right, so we got some SEC action. Vanderbilt at Arkansas. Vanderbilt's a 1.5-point favorite in this game. Definitely a toss-up. Who are you going to take in it?
I don't know. I mean, both teams are struggling.
They're not very good.
Not too good.
No.
But I'm just going to go with who I've seen play the best games, and that's Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
And that's really all I got there.
Vanderbilt has – they've been in just about every ball game almost.
I mean, you look at Notre Dame, 22-17 loss. I mean, South Carolina beat them pretty well. Georgia got them pretty good. Florida lost by 10. Led for the majority of that ball game.
Should have won that game.
And then at Kentucky last week, close.
Yeah.
14-7. I mean, they've been in a ton of ball games.
I like Vanderbilt in this game, but I'm going to get Arkansas just because I think that they're going to get the offense rolling a little bit better.
I started to go with them. I just really did not know who to pick in this game.
Yeah, I mean.
So I just went with who I've seen play the best. And, I mean, the best game we've seen Arkansas play has been against Ole Miss. And
Ole Miss is not good.
They're not good. So we know Florida's pretty good, so that's all. Yeah. That's what I've taken from that.
You think Chad Morris could beat Derek Mason in a fight?
No.
Not at all.
He's too old.
Too old. So Texas Tech at Iowa State. Iowa State is a 4-point favorite in this game. Texas Tech has looked good in recent weeks. Who are you taking in the game?
Texas Tech's been looking good. Is Jet Duffy still playing?
I don't think so. I think that was just they threw him in there.
I thought he played last week.
I think they just bring him in, to be honest with you.
I mean, if Jet Duffy's playing, I'm going with him. But Iowa State's played very well at home this year.
Yeah.
And that game's obviously there. You've been on them a while.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump over with you. And I'm gonna say they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, I'm going to take Iowa State, definitely.
But I think that they out Jet Duffy's playing, I will get back with you and change my pick.
No, these things are written in stone, man.
I don't know. We're going to change it. Rules are meant to be broken.
So, I think Iowa State has a potentially, they're still in it to win a Big 12 title.
Yeah.
But everything has to fall in place. They have to do everything right. So, I'm going to take Iowa State in this game. Hopefully, this is the start of it for them, and they can get things rolling. All right, so next up on the list, we got Purdue at Michigan State. Michigan State's actually favored by 2 points. Purdue's coming off a huge win against Ohio State. Who are you taking in this game?
Which one?
Purdue at Michigan State.
I think Purdue has a hangover, and Michigan State wins coming off the loss to Michigan. I think they refocus, and they're hungry, and they get a win.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think, you know, the question is there going to be a hangover?
Yeah.
Because that's a huge high. And I'm actually going to take Purdue in this game just because I want them to win. For the guy that has cancer.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take Purdue just simply because they can actually get the job done if they need to.
Yeah.
They haven't played really well on the road this year. Maybe that Ohio State game can give them some confidence.
I think it will.
So on to the ACC a little bit. Wake Forest at Louisville. Louisville's a 2.5-point favorite. Who are you taking in this game?
Louisville and who?
Wake Forest.
I'm taking Wake Forest. I'm taking the freshman. QB Sam Hartman. I think he has a good game and Wake gets the win. I mean, Louisville hadn't looked great all year.
No, they hadn't.
I mean, and I just think Wake's shown a little bit of flashes more than Louisville has, so I got to go with Wake.
Yeah, neither one has won a conference game yet.
Yeah.
So I think Wake Forest's defense is terrible. They have not been played well this year, but I don't think Louisville's offense is bad enough to beat them, so I'm going to go Wake Forest in this game as well. So we got Army going to Eastern Michigan. Eastern Michigan is favored by 1 point in this game. So it's a thin spread. Who are you taking?
I'm an American through and through, so I'm going to go with Army. play Oklahoma tough this year. So I'm gonna go with Army. I think they should probably be favored to win the game, but they're not. So who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to go Army as well. I thought that was a very interesting line for the game.
Yeah.
Kentucky at Missouri. Mizzou is actually favoring this game by 7 points, which I thought was a little bit of a shocker. So who are you taking in this one?
Which one?
Kentucky at Missouri.
I think it's Missouri's – I mean, Kentucky really hasn't been playing well the past couple of weeks. I think it finally all unravels and Missouri beats them. I think Drew Locke has a good game and they just outscore Kentucky, because I just don't think Kentucky's offense is scoring very well right now. And if Drew Locke gets hot for a quarter or a half, I think they can put up enough points to get out ahead of Kentucky and win.
I've been on the Kentucky train all season and their offense has stalled out a lot lately. But I'm going to keep riding them. I'm going to take them in this game, and maybe Benny Snell can get this offense going a little bit with the run game. I think it'll be a good game to watch for sure. All right, we got a little more Big 12 action. Texas at OK State. I think this is this will be a decent game to watch. Texas is favored by 3 points. Who are you taking?
Oklahoma State going with the throwback uniforms this week.
Yeah.
Back to when Barry Sanders was there. They're going to look very clean. I think they win the uniform battle, but Texas wins the game.
Yeah, I think Texas is just going to be too much for OK State. But
Texas is probably due for another Maryland game, so who knows. It's in Stillwater, so I think that keeps it close for a little while. But other than that, Texas should win.
Oklahoma State just hasn't looked that good to me this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, losing Mason Rudolph is a big reason why. But I think Texas is going to handle them well.
Yeah.
Arizona State is going down to face USC. USC's favored by 4 points in this game. Who are you taking?
It's tough because I really want to go with Herm Edwards. But USC's at home.
Okay, let me stop you right there. JT Daniels is not playing in this game.
He's not?
He's not.
Oh, I'm going Herm then.
Okay. I wanted to tell you that because it just popped in my
head. I had not seen that yet.
You know, so if I hadn't – I didn't want to, you know, not tell you. And then if I won that game, like, oh, well, you know.
I think I'm going to go with Herm then.
Yeah, he's still in concussion protocol, so they're sitting him this week.
Okay. I think Herm can win it then. I think they go in with – their quarterback, Manny Wilkins, and I think he has a good game. I think their defense, with what Herm can do, I think they can shut down a quarterback who hadn't played a lot.
Yeah. I've been high on Arizona State. I love Herm Edwards, and I really think that
I think if JT Daniels was playing, USC would win, though.
No, because, I mean, it's a 50-50 chance that he plays, but he's still in concussion protocol.
Yeah.
Jack Sears has been taking all the first-team reps all week at practice.
Yeah.
So that puts a little damper in it as well.
Yeah.
We got Texas A&M at Mississippi State. Mississippi State's favored by 1 point in this game.
Well, as a diehard Ole Miss fan I am, I will not pick State. I did it once. They didn't win. I won't do it again. A&M.
Yeah.
I just don't think Nick Fitzgerald can get it done with offense.
Yeah. I don't think that either. Texas A&M's not a pushover on defense.
You made the bold prediction last week that he would throw for 200 yards. I mean, he...
Yeah, I think I was actually drunk last week.
Had to be. I mean, he ran for a lot of yards.
Yeah, I did say he's going to run for, I think, 150.
He got 123. I mean...
He was close to 200
passing
yards.
That's about normal for 68.
60, 68, 69? I mean, that's close. Close enough.
He's close if you add up when the other team caught the ball. That may have got him to 200.
He's not a good passer, but their defense keeps him in ball games. Is the thing.
He had four picks and 8 completions.
Yeah,
that's not good. You know, he completed 4 more passes to his team than he did.
I'm not saying that it was good. I mean, it was clearly a joke.
Oh, I'm just saying
it's not good. He can't pass at all.
I'm just saying how bad that is. I'm sure you Mississippi State fans will agree with us. If not, you're delusional.
Do you think Kellen Mond can get the offense rolling against this Mississippi State defense is the question.
I think Jimbo can draw up a few things.
That's what I'm saying.
And enough plays. I mean, I think they score 17 points, they'll win this game.
Yeah.
They may not need 17.
Yeah.
Because their defense is pretty good also.
Yeah.
I mean, I just got to go with A&M here.
I don't think Joe Moorhead is capable of out-coaching Jimbo. Not yet, at least.
No.
All right, so Washington State at Stanford. Stanford's favored by 3 points. Washington State's coming off this huge win against Oregon.
Yeah.
On the road. Who are you taking?
Gosh, I love Mike Leach. You see what he came out and said today or yesterday about the playoff?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
But
he said that, you know, it would be 16 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Stanford.
I don't think Stanford's that good. I don't think Bryce Love is living up to the high. I think people have,
I think J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is that good.
Well, I'm going to say Washington State in this game. I think they're just going to pass all over them, and that's the thing. And I don't think Stanford's going to be able to match up all game with these receivers. Next up, we got Iowa at Penn State. Penn State's favored by 6.5 points. Who are you taking in this one? This is a big Big Ten game.
I'm just going to go Penn State at home. They've been struggling, especially at home. I think James Franklin's got them refocused and got the guys ready to go, and I think they get the win at home.
Yeah, I like Iowa. I like Kurt Ferentz, but
I think if this game's in Iowa, they have a chance.
Yes.
If you look at last year's game, Penn State wins on the last play of the game. I don't think they play as well on the road as they do at home, though.
Yeah.
I think Penn State will play better and get the win.
All right, so the game of the week is the Cocktail Bowl, Cocktail Party.
Not a bowl.
Whatever you want to call it. I've heard people call it the Cocktail Bowl.
I think they're delusional.
Well, that's kind of like the Red River Rivalry Showdown Shootout thing.
And it's the world's largest outdoor cocktail party.
All right, so who are you taking in this game? Georgia's favored by 6.5 points. Major playoff implications in this game, according to some people. At least major SEC championship hopes.
Georgia controls their own destiny.
Yeah.
Florida does not.
Yeah.
I mean, so Florida has to win this game. Georgia has to win this game also.
Yeah.
It's a must-win for both teams. I think Georgia wins. I mean, coming off the embarrassing loss at LSU, where they didn't play well at all.
Oh.
I mean, that's just embarrassing.
They've had the bye week to think about it.
And I think Kirby Smart's got them ready to go.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see a different Georgia team than we've seen all year.
Yeah.
And I think the defense will be alive, and I think Georgia gets a win.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to get the win as well. I just don't think Florida is talented enough to hang with them.
I think they can hang with them.
Yeah, but coming off of that LSU loss,
I mean, it's a rivalry game. It's going to be close.
I just think Georgia is pissed off and ready to prove a point now.
I do too, because they've had two weeks to sit on that.
Yeah.
And that's not a good taste.
And they have they got a tough schedule ahead of them. They got to play Kentucky next week, Auburn the next week.
They got a tough one.
All right, so who's your air raid dog of the week?
It's Hawaii.
Ooh.
At Fresno State. I'm pretty sure they're at Fresno State.
Yeah, Fresno State's favored pretty big.
They're favored by 25.5, aren't they?
Yeah, 25.5.
And Hawaii's been playing good offense all year. And I think Hawaii can cover that.
Over under 60, would you hammer it? The over?
I don't know enough about the teams to hammer any of those.
All right, my area, dog.
25 points, I'm sure they'd be pretty close.
Yeah, I mean, that's 30 points apiece.
No, 25 point spread.
Yeah.
And Hawaii, you know Hawaii's going to score some points.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I say take the over on it.
I don't think they can. I don't think that Fresno will cover that. Hawaii covers, hopefully, and gets me to 3-0.
Yeah, I'm sitting at 1-1. Good pick last week, Chandler, with the Charlotte pick. Going into the books, doing some research. Doing a little bit again this week.
Going back into the digging deep for this one again.
Ross at North Texas.
You didn't have to dig as deep for this one, did you?
North Texas is favored by 30 points in this game. And I think Ross is is not going to win the game. But I think they're definitely going to cover 30 points. So that does it with our picks. We want to say a special thanks to Bryce Sullivan last week for coming in and doing picks with us. The final tally last week in the picks, Bray did exceptionally well with all of his. Came in, everything, researched all of it apparently. He went 12-3, as did Brady. And I had a measly 9-6 record.
I think you're going to make up a little bit of ground on me this week, though, because...
Yeah, I think you beat me by four games.
We're moving into the final thoughts.
Yeah, so a little bit of time left. You got any final thoughts?
My final thoughts is that I'm going to not so fast myself. Been hard at work over here on my computer trying to figure out who's going to start at quarterback for Texas Tech. I haven't seen anything where the old dude's back yet, and I believe Jet Duffy will start. So I believe Texas Tech will win that game.
All right, so this
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's going to start and he's going to win on that ball game.
All right, so this is your final answer.
I'm going to lock it in. Deal. Not a no deal. I'm going to take the money and run. I'm going to take the money and run on that one. I'm going to go out on a limb and hope that that works out. Because I'm risking a lot this week.
Yeah, I mean, very few games a week for certain going to tie on, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is the best week so far.
No, maybe not the best week for me. Maybe a good week for you.
No, just as far as different.
I'm just praying for some upsets.
The diversity, you know.
I just think that this is a week where there could be some upsets.
Well, it's a great week for us because Ole Miss is not going to play to disappoint us.
Hey, Ole Miss will not lose this week.
You can't get disappointed if they don't lose, you know.
I mean, maybe another Florida State situation where we barely sneak out of it, but we're going to get the win.
My final thoughts is going to be former NBA commissioner.
Get it.
David Stern comes out and talks about the Chris Paul trade to LA Lakers that he shut down. And he called Dale Demps a lousy general manager. And let me tell you, he could not be more right about a situation.
I'm about to say, I know you agree with this.
He's going to lose, and he says he's going to lose Anthony Davis, which he is not wrong about. They're going to lose Anthony Davis.
You think AD will go play with LeBron?
No, I do not.
I do.
I don't think that because I really feel like he's going to go to Boston.
I don't think they can pay him.
The thing is, Boston's going to be
deep in the cap if they pay Anthony Davis.
They can move some pieces around.
I don't think they want to.
Well, yeah, I think some of their best players on rookie deals. Get Al Horford out of there, and you're set.
If the Celtics win the title this year, I believe they keep it the same.
I mean, it could be. You know, he might want to go to Brooklyn. All I know is there's a good article in Sports Illustrated that talks about this, and the Pelicans come out and defended Dale Demps, which I don't think they should have done because it made them look ignorant because he's a lousy general manager. And you think about it, when he shut down that trade, it could have changed the trajectory of the league.
Yeah.
I mean, they were going to get two players back for him. And then when he sent him to the Clippers, the next available pick, available trade, they got Al Farouq Aminu, some other dude, Eric Gordon, trash, Eric Gordon.
That was pretty good now.
Chris Kaman, and the number 10 pick, which at the time that 10th pick looked good. It turned out to be Austin Rivers. Which is Dale Demps' fault for drafting him.
Yeah. Which further proves your point that he's terrible.
He's a lousy general manager. New Orleans needs to get him out of there.
Yeah.
His time's up. Thank you for listening. Join us next Friday. We have another guest picker coming on. He's our fantasy expert and tell you everything you need to know about fantasy football.
And he's got a big hill to climb to top the 12-3 that Bray put up.
Yeah,
our guest picker.
So the challenge is out there.
It's going to be tough to beat that, I think, the rest of the year.
Yeah. I think Bray's going to go down as the number one picker this year, as far as guest pickers.
I mean, 12-3, there's not a lot of room to beat that. You got to be near perfect.
Yeah. So, guest picker coming on. We're not going to reveal any names. You're going to have to tune in to find out. I'll just give you a hint for it. He's very, very close to me. We've been friends for a very, 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 very long time. almost my entire life. So, hope y'all enjoy. Have a good weekend and go football.
Peace.